We're holding uncooked test of 12 on middays, three lines from the bottom. We looked yesterday at Bryce that contrasted how things were with Carbonus before and after the Mishkan was set up. We had talked about the Bechorim during the Avodah, and the Gemara had pointed out that we have another source that seems to say that the Bechorim only did the Avodah until Matan Torah, and we said it's Machlokas Tanurim. So we talked about a couple of other things in there, including that before the Mishkan was built, you could bring any kosher animal as a korban, unlike afterwards, where you can only do cows, sheep, and goats, and two types of birds. Before that, you could do any kosher animals. So now the Gemara is going to analyze that point in more detail. We said in the Braisa, Kokshev and Mahakrish, all kinds of animals were kosher to be brought before Matan Torah. And in fact, we said not only different species, but also even Tmumim, even Bali Mumim as well. So the Gemara says, Menohani Mili, how do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, after the Mabel, like even Noach Mizbeach for Hashem, Noach built Mizbeach for Hashem, by Yikach Mikol Behemah Tahari, he took from all of the kosher animals, and we call Oifa Tahar, and from all the kosher birds, so Behemah Kamashmoi. So Rav Huna points out then like this. So the word behema means exactly what it sounds like, domesticated animals. V'chaya b'chlal behema, and in general, in many cases, in the Torah, where it uses the word behema, it includes the word chaya as well. It actually points out that when the Torah lists the kosher animals, it says, zosa behema asher techelu. You're allowed to eat these, these are the behema that you're allowed to eat, and then after it lists three domestic animals, cows, sheep, and goats, it goes on and lists seven species of kosher wild animals. So we see that the word behemah and the word zoysa behemah asher techelu is the caption for all of that. So we see that behemah includes chaya. Therefore that means that Noach offered chayas to Horus as well, such as deer and buffalo and whatever. And how do we know? How do we know that Bnei Noach are allowed to, and Noach himself, were able to bring, whether male or female animals, whether they're intact or whether they're bali mumin, because in fact, We say in a braisa, tamus v'zachus v'behema, the rules of that an animal has to be tamim and that certain korbanos have to be males, particularly oilus have to be males. The behema is only when it comes to animals. Then tamus v'zachus v'oifus, but those rules do not apply to birds. Now that's true even after Matan Torah, even after the Mishkan was built. That's true even for us Jews, that bird korbanos, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, do not have to be tamim. They can be a bal mum as long as they're not actually missing a limb. As the Gemara is going to go on to talk about now. And they also don't have to be males. You can bring a female bird as an oiler, even though you can't bring a female animal as an oiler. And the itkash behemah la'oif, and we have a hekesh then between the animals and the birds, that if those don't apply to birds, so they know that they don't apply to animals either. This whole part is in parenthesis, because then it would come, so then this whole thing is in parenthesis, because then, and Rashi takes it out, because what's the difference? Then why mention before Matan Torah? The fact is, this, again, as we just said, this din about as far as birds applies even afterwards. And then since it's going to continue saying that mechusar eiver, they're not allowed to bring, that means that that bali mumim, there's not a problem with bali mumim for them at all. So then there'd be no reason to bring all of this. So this part is in parenthesis. However, there are Mephoshim who say that there is reason to have it further down on the Omud. We're going to talk about that there's a relevance of the fact that there's a hekesh between animals and birds, and therefore that would be based on what the Gemara is discussing over here. Anyway, Tzmimin or Balin Mumin was saying that they can bring animals that are intact or animals that are Balin Mumin. That means La Pukim of Chusser Eved Aloy, as opposed to though they cannot bring, even Bnei Noach cannot bring an animal that is missing a limb. And that's true for us also, as far as birds, that even after Matan Torah, we can bring as a korban a bird that is a Balin Mumin, but not one that's Mechusser Eved. We talked about earlier in the Masechta, whether Mechusser Eved means that it's actually missing, or does it even mean that it's non-functional? Say, for example, the eye of the bird. Is it enough to pass all it just that the eye is not functioning, the bird is blind in that one eye, or in both eyes, or is it that the eye would actually have to be gouged out for it to be possible? So the Gemara says, Omar, da'omar Rav Elazar, as Rav Elazar explains, minayim l'mechusar eiver shenasa l'bnei Noach, how do we know that b'nei Noach are also to bring an animal as a korban that is missing a limb? Talmud Lema. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Mikolachayim mikolbaser." The pasuk says, "From all, before the marble, when Hashem tells him to bring in mikolachay of all living creatures, mikolbaser, all flesh, you should bring it to the teva." That means, what does it mean, mikolachay? What is he going to bring in, dead animals? No, it means Omra Torah that hobi behema shachayin roshe evarin zavah. Bring an animal where the tips of its limbs are living. Meaning, in other words, that it can't be missing tips of its limbs, because if they were missing, then they're dead. So in other words, now why would Hashem have to be telling him that he has to bring in only animals that have all their limbs? Would be because afterwards he's going to be bringing korbanos from some of these animals, and therefore they cannot be therefore none of them can be missing a limb. In other words, so we learn from that they're not able to bring animals that are mechusar eger. Tosfos elsewhere actually asks that maybe even this should be counted as one of the shevnas of menayach. If they're not allowed to bring an animal that's missing limbs as a korban, that it comes out that's an eighth isser on them. Why don't we count it as one of the shevnas of menayach? So there's an answer from the Kehilas Yaakov that it's not so much an isser, but that if he says he's going to bring a korban, he brings one that's mechusar eger, then we're going to tell him no good. You know, the rules for korbanos require that you bring one that has all its limbs. Okay. The Gemara says Viduma Lavoti Trefa. Maybe the words in the Kol Hachai come to exclude that he's not allowed to bring, that he can't bring in an animal that is a trefa. And that would be, so therefore, in other words, nothing wrong if it's missing a limb as long as it's otherwise healthy. But if it's a trefa, then not, then he can't bring them in and he can't bring those as korbanos. So maybe we're learning from the word Mikol Hachai, we're learning that. The answer is that's true, that he can't bring in two dafas, but that we learn from a different pasuk over there in connection with the marble, milachayas zera nafka, that we learn from the fact that the pasuk says that he's to bring in these animals in order to keep seed alive, so in other words, not a trefa, which is unable to have children. So the Gemara says, from Michal Mandama, trefa any aletis. Well, that works out according to the opinion that a trefa is not able to have children, which we'll learn about in Cholim, that's the same. But if you say that a trefa is in fact able to give birth, my ikalamimar, then what are you going to say? Then you do have lachayas zera, and therefore, so we have no pasuk to tell us that a trefa cannot give birth. How do we work it out? How do we work it out according to that opinion? So the answer is ha'omakra. Yeah, but the pasuk has a different. There's a different phrase in the pasuk that Hashem tells Noach to bring in the animals. Itzach. Hashem tells him to bring in the animals with you into the teva. And the word itzach means bedomin loch. Means animal has to be animals that resemble you. There's a couple of achronim talk about the Vilna Gaon, the Malbim talk about in Lashon Kodesh. You have two words for with. You have s, which then the conjugated form of it is itoy or itach or whatever, and you have im, imoy, imach or whatever. And the difference is that s means there's some kind of similarity. The difference of m, the im would mean complete equality. So in other words, the idea is that the itoch, they have to have at least a certain similarity, namely, the German loch, they have to be similar to you. You, Noyach, are not a trefa, therefore you cannot bring in trefa animals into the tefer. So the question is, how do we know? Viduma Noyach was a trefa, haba. Maybe indeed Noyach himself was a trefa. Now Rashi and Tosfos both point out, what do you mean, how is that even possible? Rashi in a different Gemara, Tosfos over here, point out, I mean, how is that possible? How could we possibly think that Noach was a trefa? One of the rules of a trefa is, as Gemara mentions here and in other places, is it's normally not going to live more than 12 months. Noach lived over 300 years after the marble. So Tosfos answers that maybe, okay, he still lived, but he was still very weak, There is, in fact, the same way as we just had a machlokas, whether a trefa is able to have children, there's also a machlokas. We'll get to it in Cholim Ves Hashem, whether a trefa is able to live for 12 months or more, there is an opinion that it can, and in that case, then fine, Noach continued to live, but he was still very weak, and he was still very weak and not in his full health. Then Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that there may be a difference just because an animal, it was Terefa, won't live for 12 months, doesn't necessarily mean that doesn't necessarily mean that a person is the same way. There's quite a bit of discussion about that. How much, to what extent can we equate Tredaphos of people and of animals? Tredaphos is saying that a person has a mazel, meaning a person has a neshama, and therefore that may allow him to live longer. So the Birkas HaZebach talks about that maybe there's only certain kinds of Tredaphos where that would where an animal like that would be Tredaphos and would die within 12 months, but a person maybe would not be considered a trefa like that. So maybe it means, maybe the Gemara means, for example, says Rabbi Yochanan Zema, that we're talking about over here, some kind of trefa that would kill an animal within 12 months, but would not kill a person, and therefore that would explain how Noach is able to live 300 odd years more than that. Okay, so there's quite a bit of discussion about that. There's a story involving a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, a prominent rabbi, Rabbi Eliyahu Reisiv Driven. He was very sick with some kind of lung disease, where it turns out it's machloikus between the Beis Yosef and the Rama, whether an animal with this condition is kosher or treif. So he thought to himself, here in Poland or Russia, wherever he was living, we generally follow the Rama, and the Rama is the one who holds it today, and that would mean I'll also be a Tzedek, and I'm not going to live very long. He talks to himself, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael, where there most of the Jews at that time were Sfaradim, and they passed an appointment to the Beis Yosef, and appointed to the Beis Yosef. Such a condition is not fatal, and then the halacha will be decided like that. Sure enough, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he lived there for many more years. In any case, getting back to the Gemara over here, the point is then that Noach, Tosfos is saying, conceivably, Noach could have had some kind of injury or some kind of condition that an animal would make it Tzedekah, and he himself, either we would say again, he continued to live for the rest of his life, but he was weak, and that would follow the opinion that even an animal could conceivably live much longer with a Tzedekah condition, or that maybe there's a difference in that regard between people and animals with all of the discussion that gets into that. In any case, the point is, so how do we know Noach himself might have been a trefa? And then in that case, then it means that if Hashem is telling him itzach, then it means you could bring in trefa animals into the tefa. The answer is no, tomin, it says by Noach that he was a tomin, that he was a perfect person, and that means, in other words, not just that it means he was perfect in his body. So the says, why? Maybe tomin means that he was perfect in his ways, that he acted the way a person should act, completely. Okay, so Gemara says you don't need that. Tzaddik, it also says that he was a tzaddik, and that means so a tzaddik means that means so it means, in other words, that yeah, if he's a tomim, so tomim b'dirachav, Rashi translates, means honor the savlon. He was humble, he was forbearing. So then the answer is it says already he's a tzaddik. So that already includes those things. So the Gemara says, "Adum a tomim b'dirachav tzaddik b'maisav." Maybe it's both. He was a tomim in his ways, that he had good midas, and he was a tzaddik in his actions, that he didn't steal and rob and so forth like other people in his times did. So maybe neither the word tzaddik nor tomim is meant to tell us anything. So maybe the word tomim is, after all, not meant to tell us about his physical condition. Maybe in fact it's telling us about his mental and moral condition, and that doesn't mean that bodily he might not have been a tzaddik. So how do we know? So the Gemara says, okay, but here's how you can figure it out. If you're going to tell me, if you're going to think that Noach himself conceivably could have been a trefa, then you have to ask, given that we have the word that Hashem tells him to bring animals in that are itoch, that are with you, so what would be, would Hashem be telling him only bring in animals that blemished, that have a trefa like you, but not ones that are intact? Obviously not. So therefore, you must say that just the opposite. The Torah is meaning to tell us something. It's supposed to be excluding something, and that something is that they shouldn't be trefas. And from that, in turn, we can learn that Noach himself was not a trefa. Tosfos points out that in that case, then we could also say no, that wasn't a mechusar eva either. So therefore, say you do. So why do you need a pasuk to tell us that he couldn't bring in ones that are missing a limb anyway? And Tosfos says, because think of it, there were two reasons to bring animals into the teva. There was for korbanos, but there was also to repopulate the world with animal species. So a mechusar eva wouldn't not be able to do that. Trefa, following the opinions that a trefa is not going to be able to give birth, or that a trefa is not going to live very long, then there'd be no point in bringing them in, because then they wouldn't accomplish that lachayas zera. But ones that are mechusar eva, there wouldn't be an issue with that. And therefore, we need a special, and therefore, we actually need two psukim, one to one, the Kol HaChai, to tell us that he can't bring in ones that are Mechoser Eiver, not because those can't repopulate the world, but because those he won't be able to bring as Korbanos. And then the other one is to tell us that he shouldn't bring in Treifas, where there, that doesn't matter, kosher or non-kosher animals, Korbanos or not, because bringing in Treifas would defeat the purpose of repopulating the world. Okay? So that's the Gemara says. Ma'achad the nafkal on the itach. Once we're saying from itach that he shouldn't bring a treifa, l'chayas zera lamali. Then why do we need the word l'chayas zera? Which also we were using before to say that it means that they need to keep the species alive, and that means they can't be treifas. But now that we're saying we're not learning from l'chayas zera, because again there's an opinion that says that a treifa can give birth, and therefore we can't learn from that. Well then, what's the point of the word l'chayas zera in the first place? And the answer is Ma'ud Shema, because without those words, you would have thought, what does it mean, Itach? Maybe it doesn't mean that they have to be similar to Noach. It doesn't mean the Sav Alma, just that they should keep them company. He shouldn't be lonely. And therefore, Vafilu Zaken, Vafilu Saris, so therefore it wouldn't be a problem even if he brought in an animal that was old, or even if it was infertile. Kamash Malan, no, therefore we have the words Vachayas Zera, means that they're there for, in order to keep the world alive, in order to keep the species alive after the Mabul and repopulate the world. And therefore, now, so then we have the word Itach available, and then we come down, and then it means Vedoimim Loch, they have to be similar to you. Again, you're not a Trefa, as we just established, and therefore neither are they. So that explains how we know then that Bnei Noach are allowed to bring Balei Mumin, but not Mechusrei Eiver, because we see that Hashem told Noach specifically to not bring Mechusrei Eiver into the kingdom. But again, we said they can bring any species, because we see that Hashem told him to bring any all species of kosher animals, to bring in seven of them each. So we said in the Braisa before, Tahoda Navalotzmein, where we're allowed to bring any animals as korbanos, but only if they're tahor, not if they're tamei. So the Gemara says, when we have a tamei or tahor and bahi shaita, was there even a distinction in Noach's times of tamei and tahor? This is before the Torah is given. So how do we know what Torah and Tommy means? Now, actually, on the Pasuk says it means that we learn from that Noach learned Torah. But the Gemara, one wants a better answer. So the Gemara says, Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr of Yehuda. Well, according to one possibility, the Gemara is going to give the same answer. Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr of Yehuda. Ma'osim shalai nevd behen aveira. Specifically, Hashem was telling him to bring in the ones from which no aveira was done. Before the Mabul, people and animals were mating with not their own kind. So therefore, he had to bring in only ones that were not used for such purposes. So therefore, Tomei and Tahor, in that context, does not mean kosher species and non-kosher species. It means Tahor in terms of what they did, in terms of what actions they did or were done with them, versus Tomei would mean the other way around. Marshall discusses in some detail over here and says that no, Loi Nev de Behen Aveda is not really relevant in our Gemara over here. That's relevant in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where it talks all about the Mabul over there, talks about that Noach was only taking the ones from a Nev de Behen Aveda. Over here, that wouldn't be the correct Girsa, and instead, Marshall brings the Girsa, and so do a number of other Rishonim, so do a number of other Achronim, and it says on the side over here that it should be Ha'asidinli Tahar. The ones that in the future are going to be declared Tahar, which means, in other words, basically, like Rashi says on the Pasuk, that Noach had learned Torah and knew. Yes. and was told which ones are going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, Minoha v'yadi. Yeah, but how does he know which ones are going to be kosher in the future? So here's where you have Rashi says that Noach learned Torah, but here the Gemara is not saying that he himself specifically knew. Marashah says actually it can be both. I mean, the fact is, when Hashem tells him Tahora and Tmeya, he has to have some understanding of the meanings of Tahora and Tmeya. That means he has to learn Torah to that extent. But not necessarily, but at that point, it hadn't been differentiated which ones are Tomei and which ones are Tahor, so how was Noach supposed to know? So the answer is Kedir Rav Chista. The reason is that Noach did it like what Rav Chista said. The Omer Rav Chista had Viron Lifnat, in fact, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin over there also brings this in connection with the matter of Noach figuring out which ones Nev the Ben Aveda, which ones had been used for Aveiras and not. So again, the gifts that we have in front of us in the Gemara is the same thing, that Noach has to know which ones have been used for Aveiras, for bestiality or horse breeding or whatever, and which not. And therefore, and the answer would be that he'd have the teva itself test them, as the Gemara is going to say. If one tomorrow shows gives us, the vote is that how is he going to know which ones are Tahor? He knows the concept that there are behemoths Tmeus and behemoths Tahoris, but how does he know which one is which? Is by having the teva test them. So Habirim lifted that teva, he brought them in front of the teva. Kol shah teva koi lotzoi, anyone that the teva would accept in and would be able to go in, be a dua, shu tahor. Then you know that it's tahor. Not an aveda was not done with it, or it's a kosher species, depending on the different geosos. Eina teva ko tosen, if the teva does not receive it, be a dua, shahim tmei, and then you know that they're tamei and unsuitable to go into the aren. So the Sfasemis adds also, so then why did Hashem tell him that you have to take two of this kind and seven of that kind, in that case, however many go into the Teva is how many he's supposed to take. And the answer is, that's it. He was telling him, be aware that there are some of them, there are going to be seven, be aware, these are the Tahorim, and later on, Noach realized that these are the ones that he should be using as Korbanos. Fine. So all of that is a source for, for the point that, that even Bnei Noach cannot bring behemoth Tmeis as Korbanos, only behemoth Tahoris, only kosher animals. Rabbi Bohu says a different source. Omakra, the pasuk is Rabboim, or another explanation how we know, how he knew which ones were suitable to go in the teva. The first explanation we said Rav Chista was they would have them walk in front of the teva, and whichever ones are able to enter means that they're good. Omakra, a different thing, because the pasuk is Rabboim, Zachar and Akeva, the ones who came were male and female, meaning Rabboim Me'alehin. He brought in only the ones who came on their own, meaning that Hashem guided those particular animals that are supposed to go in the teva, that they should have the instinct to go to the teva, and therefore he took them in, and therefore now he knew which ones belong in the teva and how many are each. But I said before, Omamav, how Korva Oilus, we said before Matan Torah, everything was brought as Oilus. There was no such thing as bringing any other kind of carbon. So the Gemara says, Oilus ain't Shlomim lo. So that the implication is they brought Oilus, but they didn't bring Shlomim. Vahoksil. Don't we have, by right before Matan Torah, when the young men were bringing in the Korbanos, and we discussed yesterday, was it the Torah actually bringing in the Korbanos? Was it them just standing there and watching, etc.? The Pasuk says, Vayiz b'chu zvachim Shlomim l'Hashem parim. They brought Korbanos of Shlomim to Hashem, bulls. So we see that they actually brought Shlomim. This is before Matan Torah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella Ema, what the Braisa means to say is, before we were talking about which kinds of animals can be brought as korbanos, now we're going to start focusing on the people. Takol, Korvu, Oilus, everybody, both Jews and Bnei Noach, could bring Oilus, Ushlomim, and they could bring Shlomim. So according to this, this is in square brackets over here, and again there are so Rashi does not have this Gusa. So the Gusa we have in front of us is that it's saying that on the contrary, they could bring Oilus and Shlomim, Valtanya, but then we have in a Braisa of Shlomim Loi, we said before in the Braisa, they could not bring Shlomim, Kiim Oilus, only Oilus. And that would mean Oilus ain't Shlomim Loi, only Oilus, not Shlomim, or different Gusa it says on the side over here is Beluv Bnei Noyah. That would mean for Bnei Noyah, only Oilus, not Shlomim. It's a different Geosaurus over here, but the point is, so according to the Geosaurus that we have in front of us, the Gemara is pointing out that we have one Braisa that says that Bnei Noach can bring Shlomim, and another one that says that they cannot. According to the other one, there's no two Braises. We're saying that everybody could bring Oilus, but only Bnei Noach can bring only Oilus and not Shlomim. But now, at the time of Matan Torah, it's before Matan Torah, but nevertheless, at that point, Moshe had already sprinkled the Dam HaBris on them. Rashi says, Shenuv Haru Yisrael, the Jewish people have already been selected as Hashem's nation. He already told them, you're going to be Mamlachas Koyanim, the Goy Kodesh, and so forth. And then at that point, now new rules apply, and they're able to bring Shlomim. Now, the Braisa that we learned before on Kuf Tesvav Amud Beis said until the Mishkan was built, then the old rules of Korbanos applied. So there's a vote from Revel Briscoe that explains that during those 10 months that were kind of in between, they could start bringing Korbanos as Jews do, which is restricted to only certain kinds of animals and has certain rules and so forth, or they could continue offering like Bnei Noach, where they can bring any kosher animals. So therefore, so it would mean the 2 days before Matan Torah, when they brought these Korbanos, then already they've been chosen as Hashem's special nation, therefore now they're able to bring Shlomim for the first time, because again, Bnei Noach cannot bring Shlomim. But now they also have the choice for the next few months after that, can they continue just offering Oilus like Bnei Noach, or are they going to be offering Korbanos as Jews do, which can be Shlomim as well, but then they're restricted in what kinds of animals they can bring, etc. So the Gemara points out, Tumam Da'omah, Loi Korvo Shlomim B'nei Noach, where, therefore, this Braisa would follow the opinion that B'nei Noach were not able to, are not able to bring Shlomim. And that would apply nowadays as well. Can a Ben Noach bring Shlomim? Then it will depend on this question. The Itzman, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina argue on that point. Can B'nai Noach bring Shlomim? Chad Amar Korvu Shlomim B'nai Noach, B'chad Amar Loi Korvu. One says that B'nai Noach could bring Shlomim, and the other one says that they cannot. We're talking before Matan Torah, then did they or didn't they? So the Gemara says, my time and demand Amar Korvu Shlomim B'nai Noach, where the opinion that says that B'nai Noach could bring Shlomim, where does he get it from? Because the pasuk says by Cain and Hevel. Now Hevel, Cain and Hevel, of course, are long before Noach. But we mean B'nai Noach, we mean anybody who's not Jews. And Cain and Hevel is long before. There's a Jewish people, and therefore we can call them B'nai Noach in that sense. So the pasuk says, Dichtiv, the Hevel hevi gamhu mibachoris tzoneo melchavetan. Hevel brought also from the firstborn of his sheep and from their chalev. So what do we mean? What does it mean that he brought from the chalev as opposed to the rest of the animal? Which korban do we find that the chalev is brought on the mizbeach and the rest of it is not, is eaten by the owner? Heviyom is a shlomim. That means it's a shlomim. So therefore we see that Hevel brought a shlomim, and this is 2,000 plus years before Matan Torah. Okay, the Gemara says, my time and demand of a loy korvu. What about the opinion that says that B'nai Noach did not bring Shlomim, and until Matan Torah, there was no concept of Shlomim? Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Uri tzofen uvoi seyad. Arouse yourself north and come south. Now, the Gemara is going to understand the word Uri as being Meloshin Hisna'er, as in be shaken out and be removed from your place. So therefore, we darshan as follows: Kisnaer umashma sevat sofen. Let there be shaken. Let there be shaken, and let there be removed, and the peace and the song removed of umashma sevat sofen of the nation of the nations of the world whose deeds are done only in the north. Now, an Ola is exclusively shechted on the north side of the Azara, as we learned many times in our Masechta. So therefore, in other words, we're saying the B'nai Noach, who are able to bring only Olas, where Olas for us, when they're brought in the Beis Mikdash, are shechted only in the north, they are going to be stirred up, and they're going to be, their tranquility is going to be disturbed, and they're going to be removed from the scene. And there will come the nation whose deeds are done in the north and south, meaning the Jewish people who bring both Olas that are brought in the north and Shlomim that are brought in the south. So Rashi explains the Savay El Melech HaMashiach. In other words, that at that point the tranquility and the peace of the Goyim who are only Batsofen is going to be disturbed, and who's going to come? The Melech HaMashiach is going to come, us Jewish people. Eventually, the Goyim will come as well, but the point is, in other words, that they're going to be, now they're going to say, we can't just stay the way we are, we have to change, and we have to come to Mashiach. So therefore we see that even now, the Umas Olam are not able to bring Korbanos that are anywhere other than suffering, meaning anywhere other than Olas. There's a couple of ideas, a couple of symbolic ideas that are explained in that regard. Why are we Dafka referring to north and south? From Sham Shinofol Hirsch brings the point that the north is, the sun is never in the north, at least not in the northern hemisphere. So therefore that represents a certain darkness in the world, a certain darkness of the world and of life. The Goyim, when they bring Korbanos, their motivation is more, there's an angry god, we have to appease him. So therefore, they're only able to see it from the point of view of the Oyla. As opposed to a shlomim is brought when a person is feeling at peace and whole and one with Hashem. And those can be shechted anywhere in the Azara, including in the south, in the brightly lit area, and therefore that represents us Jewish people who know the mentality, we don't just turn to Hashem in times of trouble, but also, and even more so, in times of peace and goodness and everything. And therefore we bring shlomim that are more in the south. There's an idea that's where there's an idea from the Maharal that an oiler is completely burnt, a shlomim is eaten. So before Matan Torah, and even now for Bnei Noach, there's no concept that there could be a shlomim, that there could be shalom between Hashem and the person who gets to eat it, and that their eating itself should be considered an avoda, and they should be one and at peace with Hashem. You don't have that by them. So therefore, they can only bring oilers that are completely burnt on the Mizeah. The concept that there should be a shlomim, that you become, that you're, so to speak, a guest at Hashem's table, and you're entitled to eat from his korbanos, is a chiddush that was brought for the Jewish people. Okay, so two different opinions whether Bnei Noach can bring shlomim. There it is, in Menachos also, we'll learn Be'ez Hashem, we're talking about outside of this mikdash, that whether they can bring shlomim. There's a question also, we'll learn in Menachos, what about if a goy wants to bring a korban to our base of mikdash, can he bring a shlomim or not? Seems from our Gemara that we're following the opinion that says here that they can't, would mean even in the base of mikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says, nami what about according to the opinion that says Bnei Noach can't bring shlomim, how does he understand the pasuk with hevel, that he brought the fat? The answer is, the word mechaveihem doesn't mean from their fat. It means mishamnehem didhu, means he brought from the fattest of his flock of sheep. But not that he offered the fat separately, because in fact it was only an oil. So the Gemara says, ma'am nami aksib urit safran. What about the pasuk urit safran, which implies that there's a difference between safran, the goyim who bring only oilers, and dorim, the Jews who bring both oilers and shlomim? The answer is Ahuba Kibbutz Golias. That pasuk is talking about Kibbutz Golias, is talking about when the Jewish people are gathered in from all the places in Golos, and it means, in other words, north, arouse yourself north and come south. Jews who are in the north and Jews who are in the south are all going to arouse themselves and wake up and come back to Eretz Yisrael. So nothing to do with Goyim versus Jews. According to that way of looking at it, it refers to the Jews who are in those respective places, north and south. Okay. So the Gemara says, Vaksiv, here was another pasuk that shows that Bnei Noach will bring the slogan. The pasuk is Vayomer Moshe, after Makos Choshech, Pare calls in Moshe and says, fine, you guys can leave Mitzrayim, but you have to leave your animals behind. Bit of a funny thing in that connection, by the way, worth mentioning, is Paro's expression. He says you can go rak tzodchem of karchem yutzag. He says, however, your cattle and your sheep and your cattle have to remain behind. Gam tapchem yelichimokem. Also, your children can go with you. Now it seems an odd order. We should say you can go and you can take your children. They have to leave your animals behind. There's a cute vote on it brought Mam lawyers that Paro is about to say, you can go, but you have to leave behind your animals, also your children, which he had precedent for that when they went to bury Yaakov in last week's parasha. The pasuk said they had to leave their children and their animals behind in Goshen. So now also Pare was going to say the same thing, but then he sees Moshe getting furious and he quickly adds the words, can go with you. Like, fine, your children can go with you, but the animals I want to stay behind. Anyway, so Moshe tells them no. Moshe says, not only are we taking all our animals with us, gam ata titim yedenu zvochim v'oilus. You yourself are going to give us zvochim, which is shlomim, v'oilus and oilus v'asinu l'Hashem alakenu, and we will do them. We will offer them to Hashem. So that means, in other words, Moshe is telling Pari, not only are we going to take every single animal of ours, but you're going to be so desperate for us to leave after Makas v'choras that you're going to be offering us. You're going to be telling us that we should bring korbanos on your behalf. So therefore, so you see that Pare, of course, is a Ben Noach at this point, before Matan Torah, everybody is Bnei Noach, and Moshe is telling them that you're going to be giving us animals for Zvachim. So the answer is Zvachim doesn't necessarily mean Korbanos. Zvachim, la'achila, va'olas la'achrava. Moshe is telling him, you'll be giving us animals for Zvachim. The basic meaning of Zavach is to shech. So you'll be giving us animals that we ourselves will shech and will eat, not as Korbanos at all. And then in addition, you're also going to be giving us animals for Olas. But nothing to do with korbanos shlomim. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Well, Steve, what about a few parashiyos later? Vayikach Yisro choisin Moshe olos zvachim. Yisro, when he came to visit Moshe, brought olos and zvachim. And again, that the pashtus means olos and shlomim. Now here the Gemara can't answer." That it means that he's bringing shlomim, because the pasuk says lelekim, that he brought them to Hashem. So it can't just mean that she's having zvachim in order to eat. So So we're talking about now now the Gemara tells us that he became a ger, but nevertheless, before Matan Torah, there really is no concept of gerus, and they're all considered bnei noach. So the answer is Hahu Lacha Matan Torah. The answer is that pasuk is talking about after Matan Torah. So after Matan Torah, when Yisrael becomes a ger, then he's a full fledged ger. He's a yid, and he can bring shlomim like a yid. So the Gemara says, "From Nichal Amanda Omar." Yisrael Achamat Torah. Fine, that works out according to the opinion that the story of Yisrael takes place after Matan Torah, and it's written out of order. Rashi mentions it on Pesukim. El Amanda Omer Yisrael Kodem Matan Torah Haya Ma'iflamemer. What about according to the opinion that he came before Matan Torah? The Itmar, as in fact we have a discussion on that very point. Bnei Reb Chiya, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi, the sons of Reb Chiya, whose name was Yehuda and Chizkiah, versus Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi, argued when the events of the beginning of Parshas Yisroel took place. Chadam Yisroel, Koydim Torah Haya, V'Chadam Yisroel Achah Matan Torah Haya. There's a difference of opinion whether Yisroel came before or after Matan Torah. According to the opinion it was before, then it's the Torah is in chronological order at this point, and according to the opinion that it was after, then it's written out of order. One factor is the pasuk says in Parshas at the end of the story, it says that Moshe sent off Yisro and he went back home. If it was before Matan Torah, how is he sending him off when he should be there for Matan Torah? And you also have on the other hand you have in Parshas Bahaloska, you have where Moshe is sending off Choyva ben Reuel Amid Yoni, Chos and Moshe, which also refers to Yisro. Those are more names of Yisro. And they were talking after Matan Torah. They were talking after when they're getting ready to travel to Eretz Yisrael. So you have two different opinions when the story of Yisrael happened. So the Gemara says, in fact, yeah, Lamanda Amar Yisrael Kodem Matan Torah. Fine, the opinion that says that Yisrael's arrival was before Matan Torah and that he brought the korbanos before Matan Torah, because that was Shlomim Hikiruv Bnei Noach. Well, he'll have to hold like the opinion that we said before that Bnei Noach were in fact able to bring Shlomim. So therefore, his Olos Vachim Lelekim can mean exactly what it sounds like, that he brought Olos and he also brought Shlomim. So the Gemara points out Ketanoi. This is actually a Machlokas Tanoim when the story of Yisrael happened. The pasuk is by Yishma Yisrael Koyin Midian. Yisrael heard about what Hashem had done, and then he came. So Mashmu Hashemu Vavadis Gayer. What did he specifically hear that motivated him to come and become a ger? Rabbi Yeshua and Mochamas Amalek Shama. So Rabbi Yeshua says he heard about the war with Amalek. Because right before it says by Yachlish Yeshua as Amalek less Amalek Fichorev, that Yeshua had weakened Amalek and his people with at the edge of the sword, meaning that he killed all the mighty warriors and left over only the weak ones. So we see and saying right after that you have the story of Yisrael. So that means that Yisrael heard about that and then came. Rabbi Lozer Amud. So therefore, according to that, he came before Matan Torah. Rabbi Lozer Amudoy Oymash Matan Torah Shamova. Rabbi Lozer Amudoy says he heard about Matan Torah and then he came. So what happened? Shabashakshinitna Torah Yisrael, when the Torah was given to the Jewish people, Hoyakolo, Holach Misofa Olamad Sofa. The voice of Hashem was traveled from one end of the world to the other. They could hear it all over the world. All the Goyish kings were seized with trembling in their palaces, the Omru Shira, and they all sang in praise to Hashem. It didn't last, of course, so they went right back afterwards to being Ovid Azara, but at that moment of Matan Torah, then they were all motivated to realize that Hashem runs the world. As we find in connection with Matan Torah, Kapitel Chof Tesef Tilim, Mizmor David, Hovel Hashem Bnei Evan, refers to events in Matan Torah. And the pasuk says, Ovehei Choloi, and in his palace, Choloi Oy Makabod, all say glory. So when we say it in Kabbal Shabbos and in Tilim, whatever, we usually understand Ovehei Choloi to mean in Hashem's palace, everybody says, everybody praises and glory and glorifies Hashem. But now the Gemara is understanding Ovehei Choloi means in the individual palace of every king, every single king, Omer Kovod, is saying glory and praise to Hashem. And the Pesukim before that are talking about, for example, when it says before that, Kol Hashem Yecholel Ayolos, and Ayolos there, the simple meaning of Ayolos means the deer, but it's taken as a metaphor for those strongly, firmly established kings. So all the Pesukim over there are talking about how he causes the Ayolos, the tremendously strong kings, to tremble. By Yechzeh Ya'ores, he strips the forest bare, as in the mighty kings who are also compared to forests. So Niskabtsa Kulamitzel Bilama Rasha, all these kings, all everybody gathered to Bilama Rasha, the famous Navi, the Omrulay, and asked him, Makhoila Homan Asher Shamainu, what is this tremendous noise that we're hearing? Shema Mabul Baloilam, is a Mabul coming to the world? So he asks them, Hashem, or those words are in parenthesis, because now he's saying to them, if they're asking, as in the words of the Pasuk, Hashem Mabul Yashav, is Hashem sitting at the Mabul? Hashem previously brought a Mabul hundreds of years earlier, and now is Hashem going to bring a Mabul again, and he's sitting in judgment and ready to do that? So Bilam answers them, no. Vayeshev Hashem, Malach La'olam. As the pasuk continues, Hashem sits as king forever. Kvam Nishva, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sheinu Mevim Mabul La'olam. Hashem has already sworn that he's not going to bring a Mabul to the world. So therefore, we have nothing to worry about. Omru Lo'i, so they said, Mabul Shomayim Einem Mevim. Okay, maybe Hashem is not going to bring again. He swore that he's not going to bring a Mabul of water. Av a Mabul Shal Eish, maybe, but maybe he might bring a Mabul of fire. Shenema ki hine Hashem ki ba Eish Hashem nishpa. As the pasuk says, Hashem judges the world with fire. So maybe then that's the noise that we're hearing. Amalahen. So Bilam tells them no. Kram nishpa shenem mashkas kol baser. Hashem has already sworn that he's not going to. That he's not going to destroy all flesh. He's not going to destroy all humanity in general with any kind of thing. So Rashi explains, this answer is hinted at by Yeshua, Rashi actually has the Girsa, by Yeshua, Hashem Malach La'olam, Hashem sits as king forever, meaning Hashem is king over the world forever, and he's never going to destroy it. So that's not the noise you're hearing. So they ask him, Makola Homan Azesh Shemainu, so what is this tremendous noise that we're hearing? Amalahem, he tells them, Chemde Toiva, the precious treasure, Yeshla Bevesim, Chemde Toiva, Yeshla Bevesim Azav, Hashem has a precious treasure in his treasuries. It has been hidden for safekeeping by Hashem for 974 generations before the world was created. Rashi explains over here, based on Gemara and Chagiga and other places, that the original, the Hashem was going to give the Torah after 1,000 generations. And there was 26 generations of humanity from Adam until Moshe. So that means there were 974. So the Gemara says in Chagiga that Hashem originally planned, so to speak, to make them and then had to not, because the world wouldn't be able to survive that long without the Torah. In Chassidus, it talks about those in the Neshamas of Odom HaTohu. In any case, the idea is that 1,000 minus 26 is 974, and therefore we refer to the Torah having been hidden away for 974 generations before Hashem actually created the world. So now this precious treasure, Bikish Litna Levanav, now he's going to tell it to his children. Shenema, as the pasuk says, continuing in that capital, Hashem Oiz La'amayutin, Hashem gives might and strength to his people. The Torah is called Oiz. Marshal refers to the fact that the Gemara says elsewhere, the Jewish people are Azim Shabu'umas, the toughest and most brazen of nations, and therefore the Torah, which is called Oiz, is being given to us. So miyad poschal kolam va'omru, all of them immediately opened their mouths and replied, Hashem yivarach has ami bashalad, Hashem will bless his people with peace, referring to the Torah, which is called peace. In other words, Marashah says, they're saying that if it weren't for that, the Gemara says in that place where it says that Jewish people are as in Shabu'umas, if it weren't for that, nobody would be able to tolerate us. So like this, the fact that the Torah is given to us causes us to be more civilized and be able to get along with. So therefore, Hashem Yivarach, Hashem Yivarach, that would bring about that there would be peace, at sometimes at least, between us and the Goy. So in any case, the point is, Rabbi Elazar Amudoi says that there was such a tremendous, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Yisrael had heard about the war with Amalek, and therefore that's what made him come. That there was a big thing that was heard in many different places, and he heard about it. But the Rabbi Elazar Amudoi is saying he heard the tremendous noise that was being given by Matan Torah. Now the rest of the kings, they all came terrified to Bilam, and he told them what's going on, and fine, they praised Hashem, and they praised the Jewish people, and then they went back to their palaces and continued as they were. Yisrael was the only one motivated to actually transform his life and come. The point to Rabbi Elazar Amudoi, he came after Matan Torah, whereas the point to Rabbi Yeshua, he came after the war with Amalek, which was a couple of weeks before Matan Torah. Rabbi Yezer and Yaakov, there's a gears on the side, Kriyas Yamsuf Shoma. What he heard about was Kriyas Yamsuf. Shenema, as we find later on, that Kriyas Yamsuf is described in terms of hearing. By Hishkashmoya, actually, the splitting of the Yarden is described in terms of hearing, and Marshall points out, if even that is described that everybody heard about it, all the more so Kriyas Yamsuf, which was an even greater ness. So the Pasuk says in Yeshua, by Hishkashmoya Kamalchei HaMori, when all the kings of the Amori heard how the Yarden had been split, then they were all afraid. So now the point is, we see that hearing is being mentioned in connection with that. So the same way Yisrael had heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and therefore he came. There's a sikha where they never talk. The Rashi on the Pasuk brings two of these opinions. The Rashi on the Pasuk brings the opinions that he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and the war with Amalek. Sort of a lot of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion and Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. There's a sikha that never talks about the deeper idea behind that is he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, that means that Elokos is being for the first time exposed and revealed to the world, because that's what Kriyas Yamsuf represents, that Alma Deskasia, the hidden world, is being uncovered, and Yad Al, and then becomes temporarily at least Alma Deskalia, the revealed world. So he heard of that. Nevertheless, he still heard that there's an Amalek who opposes Elokos, and therefore he realized, I can't just sit where I am. If I do, I'm likely to end up slipping into the same thing as Amalek, and therefore I have to transform myself, and I have to come to the Jewish people and become a Gel. So in any case, the point is that we have a machlokas whether Yisrael came before or after Matan Torah, and that's going to affect the question of whether Bnei Noach can bring Shlomim. If you say he came before Matan Torah, then that shows that Bnei Noach can bring Shlomim, because it says he brought Zvachim. If you say that he came after Matan Torah, then it shows that Bnei Noach, then we don't have anything from there to say that Bnei Noach can bring Shlomim, and we're back to the opinion that Bnei Noach can bring only Oilus. So now the Pasuk mentions that when it talks about how the kings of the Amorim, the kings of the seven nations, heard about the splitting of the Yarden, then they all were terrified. So the Gemara says, "V'af Rochav Hazona, Omer B'Shlucha Yeshua." Rochav Hazona had said a few days earlier, when the two Meraglim of Yeshua came and spent the night at her house, she tells them, we have heard how Hashem dried up the waters of the Yamsuf, and we were all terrified. So in the same way, when Yisrael, years earlier, had heard of that also, about how the Yamsuf had been dried up and split for them, so all the nations in Eretz Yisrael and in the surrounding countries were terrified. Rochav is telling them, as we have also in Oz Yashu, Oz Nivadu Alufa Edom, Elemoi Bachazema Road, etc. So Rochav says, we were in fact terrified, and the point is, it says, when we heard, so therefore we see that Yisrael also heard, by Yishma Yisrael, but with him, it wasn't just he heard, and interesting news, and then he's terrified, but then afterwards, interesting news, let me go on with my life, instead he came and became a Ger. So the Gemara asks, let's talk about a nuance in the between the Pesukim over there. In Yeshua Perakei, the Pesuk that we said when they heard about the splitting of the Yarden, the Pesuk just says, Maishna Hasam, the Amalei, Velay Hoyavam Oidruach. The Pesuk says there was no more spirit in them to fight against Bnei Yisrael. Maishna Hacha, whereas in Rochav, when Rochav was speaking earlier in Perak Beis to the Meraglin, she says, Velay Koma Oidruach Beish. No spirit stood up in any man. So why does she use that expression, comma, instead of later on where it just says, ruach. So the answer is that she's telling the Meraglim that the men of the Knanim are not even able to get aroused. They're not even able to get an erection because they're so terrified. So for like comma, literally like it didn't stand up. So the Gemara says, no, Yoda, how does she know that? And the answer is because she was a Zoyna. There was not a single nobleman or ruler who did not have relations with Rochav HaZoyna. So she's well aware of their capabilities, and she's saying that now, as a result of all of this, there's been a fall off in my business, basically. So they said, Bas Yud Shanim Hoys. So therefore, that's why she used the expression of like, Kama Oid Roch Be'ish. So Omru. So they said, what was her life story? She was 10 years old at the time of the Tiyas Mitzrayim. Throughout the entire 40 years that the Jewish people are in the desert, she's practicing her profession as a Zoyna. Now, 50 years old, then the Meraglim comes to her house, and she completely transforms herself, and she became a Gioris. Omra. And she says to Hashem, may it be forgiven to me what I've been doing, the Averis that I've been doing all these years, using the rope and the window and the flax, namely like this, all those years, all those years. So you had the noblemen and the ministers and whatever would come and frequent her for her services as a Zoyna, but also there would be people who wanted to, there would also be people who wanted to come to her without other people knowing. So she had her window, the Pesukim so can describe, her house was in the city wall, and she had, so therefore she had a window overlooking the outside of the city. So she was able, when people wanted to come from outside, she would pull them up with a rope through the window. And then she would lower them back down with that as well. And she would also, when necessary, she would hide them among the flax bundles. Now, when the Meraglim came, she did the exact same thing. She hid them first in the flax bundles. And later on, when they needed to escape, then after she had talked with them, then she lowered them down from the window with that same rope. So now she says to Hashem, please forgive me for the znus that I was doing all these years. And fine, okay, she's a pnuya, she's not married, she's not, technically it's not an issue of znus, but nevertheless, as Ben Yoyada points out, after the Mabel, the nations of the world had made an official rule among themselves that we're not going to get into znus like we did before the Mabel, and she had been violating that these 40 years. So now she says to Hashem, may that be forgiven me, the averus that they did with these very same items in the schus that now I saved the Meraglim with these very same items. Marshall brings from Yalkut Shimoni a couple of other possibilities. Not the word, not Pishton, the flax that she hid them in, but rather Choyma, the wool through which she would bring up her paramours, and now which she lowered the Meraglim down through her window in the wall. Yalkut also brings another point that she said, all these years I haven't been keeping the three mitzvahs of Jewish women, Nidachala and Havlokas Haner, so now please forgive me because of these three things that I'm using to save them. And, I mean, she was a goiter. She's obviously not chayiv in those mitzvahs, nidachala and walks in there. But in effect, in other words, she's saying, I could have become a geodis many years earlier, even when we first heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and I didn't. I delayed my geodis to all these years, so therefore Hashem, please forgive me for that. The point is, in other words, this is an example of his hapcha. She literally took these three things that she'd been using all these years for averus and transformed them into objects of kedusha so much that she can ask Hashem to forgive them in the schut, to forgive her in the schus of them. So that was a side point the Gemara had brought up of why the difference in expression. But we see, in other words, that the Kriyas Yamsuf and later on the splitting of the Yarden was something that was heard all over, and therefore that's another reason to say that that's what Yisrael heard by Yishma Yisrael and came and became a Ger. Okay. So in any case, the point is, again, so we have a machlokas whether Bnei Noach can bring Shlomim, and that in turn relates to the machlokas of whether Yisrael came before or after Matan Torah. The Gemara says, "Omamar." We said before in the Brisa, "Ogit chum is manas." The Ogit chum is manaser. Rashi Masas Kain. Goyim nowadays are still allowed to follow those rules. They can bring any kosher species of animal, even a balmum, as long as it's not mechusar ever, and they can bring olas wherever they want. So the Gemara says, "Menahani." Really, where do we know that from? What do you mean, where do we know that from? Of course, I mean, the Torah is given to us Jewish people, but there's an explanation that the Olas Shlomo gives an explanation. Since B'chlal, we learn that Goyim can bring Korbanos to Arbeis HaMikdash, maybe that means that they can only bring Korbanos to Arbeis HaMikdash, and they cannot bring it elsewhere. So we need a pasuk to tell us that no, they're still allowed to. So the Tanah Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa. The pasuk is Dabar of Bnei Yisrael, the parasha of Shchutei Chutz, the parasha of not shechting and offering korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash, which we've been dealing with in detail in the previous parak in this one. It says Dabar of Bnei Yisrael, from which we come in. Bnei Yisrael, Mitzuvan al Shchutei Chutz, Veina Ovin Kachav Mitzuvan al Shchutei Chutz. Only Jews are commanded not to shecht korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash, but the goyim are not. Lefichach, therefore, kol echad ve'echad, every goy, vonele, boma la'atzmei, can build himself a boma wherever he wants, u'makrev aleihu kol asher yirtze, and he can offer on it any korbanos that he wants, subject only to the rules that we said before about that it has to be a kosher species of animal and not mechusar eder. However, so now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yaakov bar Acha, Amar Rav Asi, also las, also l'sayon, v'lasas shlichusan. Now, what you're not allowed to do, though, is, you're not allowed to help them and to do their shluchos. So a goy wants to bring a korban, you're not allowed to help him bring that korban, and you're not allowed to bring it on his behalf because you're a yid and you have the rules of shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to bring korbanos outside the business. However, Omer Rabba, although Irinuhu Lahu Shori, however, Rabba says you're allowed to teach them what they should do. You can teach them what to do, and then they can do it themselves. Ki ha de ifrahum is imin shabur malka. As we have the example involving Ifrahumis, the mother of King Shabur. The King Shabur, there were a couple of Shabur Malkas in the times of the Gemara. There was one of them in the time of Shmuel. Here we're talking about a later one who was in the time of Rava. So he was actually in history books you can find, he became king as a baby. His father had been assassinated. They crowned him as king, whatever. Anyway, when he was a child, in particular, then his mother was his regent, and we find his mother mentioned in a number of places in Shas. Her name was Ifra Hormuz. There's even a place. Now she says that she was Kroivel Adas Yisrael. She was a Goita, but she was very close to Judaism, and she actually kept some mitzvahs. So now, Shodra Kurbono L'Rava. She one time sent an animal for a korban to Rava. And she sent him along with it. She sent along a message as well. Please bring this korban for the sake of Hashem. So she herself was a goita. She in the stama in the palace they worshipped geshkes, but she knew about the one Hashem, and she wanted Rava to bring a korban for her on her behalf. Now how are we going to do it? We just said you can't do their shlichus. Amar lahu l'Rav Safra, or Rav Acha bar Huna. So Rava tells Rav Safra and Rav Acha bar Huna, who were pashtus, were his talmidim. He tells them, here's how you're going to do it. You yourselves can't do it, but again, as we just said, you can give instructions to the goyim how to do it. So here's what you do: Zilu udvaru tre ulomi guloi. Go bring two goyish boys who are the same age, because that way they're the same age. In other words, it'll look nice when they're the same age, and like they have a physical resemblance. It looks nice. It's more of a beauty for the korban. So two goyish boys who are the same age, v'chozu hecha demaska yamashir join. Marsha points out, the point the Gemara is going to be making throughout this description and afterwards is that as much as possible, things that were used for this korban of Ifra Hormuz's should be things that were never used before. So that's why definitely we want young boys, because that way they haven't yet done work. Otherwise, if they're mature adults, they've already been working, and therefore it's not as derech eretz. So two young boys who are the same age, find a place where the sea has cast up dirt. And over you have, like by the sea coast, you have there's always new soil always forming over there from the sea or the river flooding its banks and depositing new topsoil over there. So again, the idea is that it should be new ground that has not yet been used. New ground that has not yet been used for anything else. The shaklut sibi chadzi, take new wood, again, that has not been used for anything else. The apikun nurimi mora chadza, use a new shovel to make the fire. So in other words, they didn't have matches then. So the point of new wood, Rashi points out, again, it shouldn't be shivre kalim, it shouldn't be broken, it should be all new. It should be all new wood that has not been used before. So then create fire, he says to them, using a new shovel. So in those days, they didn't have matches. How do you make fire? One way is you take a shovel, a metal shovel, and strike it on rocks, on flint rocks or whatever, and it produces a spark. So the same way he's telling them, don't use a shovel or a metal tool for that purpose that has been used before, but rather use a new one. All of this has respect for the korban, that it should be with things that were not used before. And then you can tell these boys that they should offer this korban of Ifra Hormuz's L'Shem Shemayim. So the Gemara says, Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rava, Kiman, who are you following in particular that you're saying you need new wood and new everything over there? Who are you following? Rav Elazar ben Shamua. Seems like you're following the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Shamua. The Tanya, Rav Elazar ben Shamua, Omer, Man is Be'ach, Shalei Shtamash Be'hedye. Now, the Pasuk, when it describes the Ola, it says that you have to put wood on the Mizbeach. So why does it mention wood and the mizbeach together? We can learn a hekesh from it. Ma mizbeach shalei shtamash b'hevye, just like the mizbeach is something that has been built from new stones that have not yet been used for any other mundane purposes. The same way the wood has to be new and not having been used for any mundane purpose before. So therefore you needed that these two goyish boys should be taking new wood. There's different mafoshim talk about how exactly where do we get the mizbeach has not been used before. One point is because the stones for it have to be gotten from deep underground or from the bottom of the sea, so they're smooth and they don't have nicks in them, and that means also that they've been out of sight and nobody has ever used them. Okay, in any case, the point is, so Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua learns from that that the same thing is true of the wood. The question is, well, Moedir, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua holds that when it comes to the Mizbeach and the Bais HaMikdash, but Vahom Moedir, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Bavama, but Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua agrees that when it comes to a Bama, as what you were doing, when you're having Rabbi Safra, and when you're having Rabbi Safra and Rabbi Acha bar Huna instruct these Goyish boys to bring a Korban, that's not a Bama, because this is in Bavel, and it's long after the Korban. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua agrees that by a bummer, you don't necessarily need new wood. So why were you insisting that they have to have new freshly cut wood? The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when David bought Gur and Arav Nahivusi, so you have the story in Sefer Shmuel and in a little more detail in Divrei Yomim, that there was a plague going on, and then Hashem tells him to go to the barn of Arav Nahivusi and bring a korban over there, and David bought the property. So now, Kosev Echad Omer Vayitim David La'onan Vamokim Shiklezal Mishkal Sheshmeis for them. In Divrei Yomim, when it tells the story, it says that David paid 600 gold shekel for the property. But at the end of Shmuel, it says Vayikim David Esam Goren Vesam Bakar Bekesef Shkalim Chamishim. In Shmuel, it says that David bought the granary and the cattle, because Aravna had offered him the cattle to use for a korban, and then David says, I don't want to take anything for free, I'm going to pay for it. So the pasuk says they paid it for 50 shekelim. Okay, so is it 50 or 600? Okay, so Roshim would call Shevet commission. David collected 50 shekels from each Shevet, and there were 12 shvatim, Shane Sheshmeis. 50 times 12 is 600. So the pasuk in Shmuel is referring to the contribution of each individual Shevet, and the pasuk in Divrei Yomim is referring to the total contribution. The property for the Beis Hamikdash had to be bought from the funds of all the shvatim. So that's one way of understanding. Rebbe Omer Shem Abba Yosef ben Destoy, Rebbe in the name of Abba Yosef ben Destoy, says a different explanation. Boker ve'etzim mokem mizbeach ben mun, David paid 50 shekel to Onan or Aravna for the cattle and for the wood because Aravna had offered him wood as well from his threshing tools. Or mokem mizbeach and the space of the mizbeach ben mun that he bought for 50. V'chol abayis kulei the sheish meis, and then he bought the rest of the area which became the harabayis. He bought that for 600. So that's another way of understanding how it's 50 versus 600. Rashi does not have that girsa. Instead, Rashi has a different girsa that Rashi instead has a different girsa. He doesn't have that part about the 50 versus 600, the area of the mizbeach versus the rest of it. Another explanation. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Bokav Eitzin, the Mokam is Be'ach Benun. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua says the same thing. So we have one explanation is 50 from each shade at 600 total. Rebbe says Bokav Eitzin, Mokam is Be'ach Benun, and the rest 600. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Bokav Eitzin, Mokam is Be'ach Benun. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua similarly says that the cattle and the wood and the place in the Mizbeach was 50, v'chol habayis kulei b'sheish meis, and the rest of it he bought for 600, and we know that he bought the cattle and the wood, because it actually says, d'chtiv, v'yomer aravna el David, aravna says to David, yikach v'yal adoni ha-melech ha-toy ve'enav, let my master, the king, take and offer up whatever is good in his eyes, re'e ha-bokor la'ola, see the cattle are for an ola, Vamurigim and the Murigim, which the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines, what that is, Uchleya Boker and the other equipment of the cattle, La Eitzim you can use for firewood. So we see that he's offering him the farming tools for firewood. So you see that you are allowed to use used wood on a bummer. So why do you insist that with Ifrahum's korban that you need to use Zafka new wood? So the answer is Rava Amalach. The answer is Rava will answer you Hasan Nami b'chadzi. As a matter of fact, they were talking about that. In fact, they were new ones. Aravna was telling him these are not used Merigim and Klei Bakar. These are new ones that I just bought and haven't used yet. You can use them for wood for the korbanos. And sure enough, David did. And sure enough, David did buy them. So we see therefore that does show that it's new wood. When we said, by the way, that we have different opinions whether how it's 50 versus 600, one point is, Tosfos said, now the Gemara does not deal with the fact that in Divrei Yomim it says it was 600 gold shekel, and in Shmuel, it says it was 50 silver shekel. So what is it? Tosfos says, in other words, that he collected that they collected enough silver to be equal to 50 gold shekel from each shevet. So altogether, it came at 600 gold shekel. But what he had collected for the purpose was silver. Then Tosfos brings another explanation from a medrash, brings from a medrash that it was 50 gold shekel, which were equal to 600 silver shekel. And Tosfos explains usually we say that a gold dinar, and similarly a gold shekel, would be 25 times that of a silver shekel, but in fact the gold one is actually thicker, so therefore in terms of, if you have coins of the same size and thickness, then you would have gold is worth 12 times as much as silver, which it was, and until modern times, that generally was the ratio, somewhere around 1 to 12, between gold and silver. Nowadays it's much different. So 50 gold shekel would in fact be equal to 600 silver. Okay, in any case, the point is that when Aravna is offering him the wood, and David accepted and bought it, this is all new wood. Okay, the Gemara says, my merigim, we said that Aravna offered him merigim, what is that? Ula mitzah shel turbol. It's what's called, in all those times, what's called a bed of turbol. It's called that in the Mishnah. Well, my mitzah shel turbol, what does that mean? Is it a karkasa? It means a threshing sledge. Iza literally means a goat, because it had horns, it had protrusions, and horns on it with daishan, dishoy, that people used for threshing. The way they would thresh grain in those days, you have the grain grows inside various shells and then with straw and whatnot. You need to break open the shells to get out the kernels. So they would put the grain in a pile on the ground. They would have oxen pull behind them a threshing sledge. A threshing sledge was basically a flat board with something underneath it, with some kind of roughness underneath it. Sometimes they would embed stones or other sharp things into it, nail in or pound in or whatever, stones or pieces of metal or whatever. Sometimes they would make grooves in it. And in any case, that roughness on the bottom would cause the shells you'd have the ox would be pulling that behind him. Usually you'd have a person standing on it as well to add a little weight. And the weight of it and the roughness of it would crack open the shells and without damaging the grain. And the result is that now you have the grain has been removed from the shells. And then the next process of it is zoder, the malacha of dosh. Then you have the malacha of zoder. Winnowing, which is where you throw up the mixture into the air and fan it or have a wind or whatever to blow away the straw and shells and leave only the clean grain. So the point is, that's where merigim is that kind of threshing sledge is a piece of wood that's used like that with grooves in it or with nails or stones or whatever embedded into it that will cause the pressure of it on the grains will crack them open. I'm going to buy my cross. Abai says, where's a pasuk where we see that's the meaning of morag? Hashem tells the Jewish people, Hine samticha morag chorutz chodosh, behold, I have made you like a new grooved threshing sledge, bal pifias, with sharp edges, where the pasuk goes on to say, you will grind up and you'll thresh the nations of the world. In other words, they have good within them, they have sparks of kedusha within them, which you, as like a sledge, will be able to extract them from the clippers that are surrounding them, and therefore we see that the word morag refers to that kind of farming tool. So the Gemara says, Makri le Rava l'dvei. Rava was one time reading to his son, the Pesukim, the Romi le Kroy Adadi, and he pointed out the stira that we said between the Pesukim. Siva Yitin David le Onan Regomer. It says that David gave Onan 600 silver shekel. And then in Shmuel it says that he gave him 50. Okay, so what was the answer? Like we said before, Govim le Kol Shevet le Shevet Chamishim. He collected 50 from every shevet, changed sheshmeis, which adds up to 600 total, because 12 times 50. So v'akati kashin adadi hocham kesef hochazav. So then he still had a problem though that in Shmuel it describes as silver and in Dibra Yom as gold. So again, you have what Tosfos said before that would mean that he collected 50 gold shekel from each one, and it added up to 600. He collected silver in the amount of 50 gold shekel, or that he collected 50 gold shekel, which equals 600 silver shekel. So Ella, come on, that's the answer. The Gemara says, Goyva Kesef, the Mishkal Sheshmei Zav. He collected 600 shekel of silver, which came out, he collected enough shkolim of silver in the amount of to equal 50 shekel of gold, mishkol, sheshmeis zahav, which equaled up, therefore, eventually to the weight of 600 shekel of gold, and this is what he gave Arazi. So again, that was one answer, and then the other answer, we said that he paid 50 just for the place of Mizbeach and the cattle and whatever, and then the remaining 550 he paid for the rest of the area, which later on became the Hanabais.